this has done to me. You remain coldly unaffected while your face still haunts my dreams. You're having your fun, revolving door of toxic love. You never miss a beat. But I think that any chance at love died for me at 15. That bled me into this faded blue. No grasp on the truth, and I know we were two kids just getting by, drunk on a promise from summertime. But you heart of mine, and over time, so was I.
That was Faded Blue from Avery Dakin's Bloom. I would like to report on the Northwest League, where the Vancouver Canadiens play at this time. It is a high A league, three levels below Major League Baseball. On June 15th, the host Vancouver Canadiens tripled up the Spokane Indians 3-1 in Rogers Field and at Bailey in Vancouver, BC. The visitors Everett Aqua Sox jumped the Eugene Emeralds 7-3 at PK Park in Eugene, Oregon. And the Tri-City Dust Devils doubled up the host Hillsboro Hops 6-3 at Ron Tonkin Field in Hillsboro, Oregon. On June 16th, Hillsboro exercised Tri-City 17-4 with 12 runs in the bottom of fourth. Spokane edged Vancouver 5-4 in 10 innings, and Everett bested Eugene 8-5. There were three venue changes and four games on June 18th. The visitors Vancouver shaded Tri-City 1-0, followed by a 7-0 drubbing with all runs in the first two innings to sweep the doubleheader at Gisa Stadium in Pasco, Washington. Eugene spanked the host Spokane 7-2 at Avista Stadium in Spokane Valley, Washington, and Everett grounded the visitors Hillsboro 6-0 at Funko Field in Everett, Washington. Five games were on tap for June 19th, including two doubleheaders. Spokane edged Eugene 3-2 in Game 1, but were thumped in Game 2, 9-1 for a split, while Hillsboro swept Everett with 7-3 and 4-1 wins. Meanwhile, Vancouver shaded Tri-City 4-3. On June 20th, Spokane shellacked Eugene 9-3. Hillsboro doubled up Everett 4-2, and Tri-City blinded Vancouver 12-7. Three games are on tap tonight. Hillsboro continues in Everett, Vancouver renews in Pasco against Tri-City, and Eugene resumes in Spokane Valley. All games start at 7:05 p.m.
The Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty, who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca.
Here are the current standings in the Northwest League, which is in the first half. The Spokane Indians, an affiliate for the Colorado Rockies, are first at 38-26. The Hillsboro Hops, an affiliate for the Arizona Diamondbacks, are second at 35-30. The Eugene Emeralds, an affiliate for the San Francisco Giants, are third at 33-32. The Everett Aqua Sox, an affiliate for the Seattle Mariners, are 4th at 32-34. The Vancouver Canadiens, an affiliate for the Toronto Blue Jays, are 5th at 30-33. And the Tri-City Dust Devils, an affiliate for the Los Angeles Angels, which play out of Anaheim, are last at 26-39.
No matter your disability, you likely face barriers in your everyday life. At Neil Squire, we help break those barriers down by helping you access employment, technology, and the tools you need to live your life to the fullest. As a nonprofit organization, we empower people with disabilities all across Canada, and we are here for you too. Visit neilsquire.ca to learn more.
Welcome back. The sixth act is Alex Pipes Square One with Breathing Space. Thank you. I would like to shift gears to the Western Lacrosse Association at this time. It is an amateur league of men's senior A box lacrosse, with many playing in the professional National Lacrosse League every winter. On June 15th, the Coquitlam Adenex bested the host Nanaimo Timbermen in a 10-9 barn burner at Frank Crane Arena. On June 16th, the visitors Langley Thunder shell-shocked the Maple Ridge Barrage 18-11 at Planet Ice Kamnee Lee Arena, Maple Ridge. On June 19th, Chase Scanlon of the Langley Thunder was named the Player of the Week as he tallied 4 goals and 8 assists for 12 points in 2 games last week. Later on June 19th, Scanlon was the first star with 4 goals and 2 assists in Langley's 8-5 victory over the New West Salmon Bellies at Langley Event Center. New West returned home to take on Nanaimo on June 20th, where the hosts bested the Timbermen in a 13-9 slugfest at Queen's Park Arena. Tonight sees Victoria in Burnaby to take on the Lakers at Bill Copeland. The ball drop is at 7 p.m.
Attention, women in science, technology, engineering, and math. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting on your journey, the Society for Canadian Women in Science and Technology is here to support you every step of the way. From mentorship programs to networking and skill-building events, we've got the tools and resources you need to succeed and thrive in STEM. Visit SCWIST.ca to learn more. That's SCWIST.ca. We can't wait to connect with you.
Here are the current standings in the Western Lacrosse Association. 2 points are awarded for a win with... just a minute, please. Looks like there's just only 2 points awarded for a victory here. The Victoria Shamrocks are first at 6-0, 12 points. The New West Salmon Bellies are second at 5-2, 10 points. The Coquitlam Adenex are 4-4, 8 points. The Burnaby Lakers are 4-3-3, 6 points. The Langley Thunder also have 6 points, but are 5th as they're 3-5. The Maple Ridge Barrage are 6-2-5, 4 points. And the Nanaimo Timbermen are last at 1-5 for 2 points.
Hey, SFU! Getting money back for all your empty or refundable bottles and cans just got a lot easier. Just sign up for Returned Express for free. You can bag your containers, tag the bag, and drop it through the window at the new Express and Go container in the East parking lot. Return It will count your containers and credit your refunds to your online account. Learn more at returnit.ca/SFU.
Now I'd like to talk about the Surrey Police transition at this time. It has been a very polarizing issue for Surrey, the second largest and fastest growing city, for over the last 6 years. The then Mayor Doug McCallum pursued the Surrey Police Service, which was approved by the BC government in 2020. Fast forward to 2022, Brenda Locke, who campaigned to stop the Surrey Police Service, became the mayor by beating McCallum with less than 1,000 votes on October 15th, 2022. But Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, ordered Surrey City to continue with the Surrey Police Service on July 19, 2023. However, Locke did not give up her fight to keep the Surrey RCMP. On October 13th, Surrey filed a petition to the BC Supreme Court for a judicial review of the BC government's decision. The BC government responded on October 16th as Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, tabled a legislation in the BC Legislature in Victoria, which are amendments to the BC Police Act, i.e. Bill C-36, 2023. Police Amendment Act 2023, where a key change is, municipalities need to complete police transition plans approved by the Ministry of Public Safety and Solicitor General, which directly targets Surrey. On October 25th, the BC Police Amendment Act passed a third reading, with 56 voting for and 27 against. One day later, BC's Police Amendment Act became law after it received royal assent, as BC's Lieutenant Governor Janet Austin approved the law on October 26th. On November 16th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Minister of Public Safety and Solicitor General, appointed Mike Sir, the former Abbotsford Police Chief who retired last fall, as the administrator of the Surrey Police Board, suspended all 8 members of the Surrey Police Board, and removed Brenda Locke, the Surrey Mayor, as the SPB Chair. Surrey launched a second petition on November 20th, this time challenging if the BC Police Armament Act 2023 is constitutional. On January 25th, 2024, Mike Sir, the Surrey Police Board's administrator, released the SPS 2024 budget in a press conference, which was submitted to Surrey City on November 30, 2023. With the SPS having deployed 215 officers at the time, $141.5 million were requested, 42% of the policing funds available, at a total of $337 million. 480 officers, which would increase the total of SPS officers to 526, 67% of all Surrey police officers by the end of 2024, with Surrey's targeted number at 785. The SPS budget numbers were developed with Jessica McDonald, Strategic Implementation Advisor, and Deloitte, an independent accounting firm, assumed the Surrey RCMP will ramp down. Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, during a press conference later on, said if Surrey doesn't agree, the Director of Police Services will make a decision based on submissions from the city and police. On April 4th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, introduced further amendments to the BC Police Act to municipal police management, where local governments with municipal police forces can choose one representative each. Members of each local police board can elect chair and vice chair. Currently, the mayor of each municipality with their own police force is the chair, except Surrey, as Farnworth removed Brenda Locke last November due to allegations of her obstructing the Surrey Police Service. Also, the police complaint commissioner can call public hearings during misconduct investigations to systemic reviews and lead investigations into police complaint causes, contributing factors, as part of Bill 17. On April 9th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, told reporters in the BC Legislature that Surrey actually approached the BC government in January, revealed the additional offer to be $100 million over 5 years, to a total of $250 million over the next decade, and a deadline at 4 p.m. However, Surrey rejected the offer shortly after 3 p.m., less than an hour to the deadline, according to a BC government press release, where Farnworth also responded that $150 million will be used to complete the transition. On April 23rd, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, announced the Surrey Police Service will become Surrey's police jurisdiction on November 29th, 2024. There will be no federal or provincial legislative changes required. RCMP and SPS officers will work under a collaborative agreement and will provide a notice to Surrey to end the Municipal Police Unit Agreement, i.e., Surrey RCMP. The SPS Chief, Lauren Lipinski, added that he will ramp up hiring. Dwayne McDonald, the RCMP Deputy Commissioner, acknowledged work between the Federal Public Safety Ministry and provincial government, and the RCMP will provide assistance until the transition completes, where BC RCMP officers will be working with the SPS. On April 29th, the BC NDP government and Surrey squared off in the BC Supreme Court in Vancouver on Surrey's legal challenge against the BC government directing the city to continue with the SPS, presided by the Justice Kevin Liu. On May 3rd, the 5-day hearing between Surrey and the BC NDP government on the latter directing the city to continue with the SPS concluded. During the final submissions, according to Tom Zatarak of Surrey Now Leader, the Surrey City lawyer Craig Dennis said the BC government directing Surrey to continue with the SPS was done without studying its impacts. Trevor Bant, the BC government lawyer, countered with the following: while the Minister Mike Farnworth is sensitive to the costs of the SPS, his ultimate responsibility is to ensure adequate and effective level of policing throughout BC. As he concluded that Surrey's plan was not safe, the $75 million difference between the Surrey RCMP and SPS was based on apples and oranges, 734 Surrey RCMP officers versus 900 SPS. Craig Dennis, the Surrey City lawyer, responded to Bant by saying Farnworth's power was to, quote, merely approve or not Surrey's plan to keep the RCMP, thus Farnworth exceeded his jurisdiction. Also on May 3rd, the SPS welcomed 12 new recruits who will train in the Justice Institute of British Columbia. On May 6th, during a Surrey City Council meeting, the budget for both DSPS and Surrey RCMP was was at $221 million, with a difference of $33.5 million, a 7% tax increase from 1% on roads and 6% on general tax increase. The fourth and final approval of Surrey's 2024 budget, which included 26 bylaw approvals, was passed along the party lines, where the mayor Brenda Locke and her Surrey Connect councillors voted for, with four councillors against, according to Tom Zeterek of Surrey's Now leader. On May 13th, Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke gave another press release on the Surrey City website, also announced on Twitter, based on Section 27, Subsection 3.1 of the BC Police Act, added on April 25th, 2024, where any municipality with a municipal police board can object to any part of its budget to the municipal police board and the Director of Police Services by May 15th. Locke continued that Surrey will uphold its budget, passed on May 6th at $221.5 million, $37 million lower than DSPS and Surrey RCMP's proposed budgets, which will fund more than the joint strength, DSPS and Surrey RCMP up 785 officers in a property tax increase of 7%. On May 23rd, the BC Supreme Court Justice Kevin Liu rejected Surrey's petition against the BC government in directing the city to continue with DSPS, upheld amendments to the BC Police Act, which mandates Surrey to continue with DSPS, and Surrey can fund DSPS. As the Justice Liu estimated, the SPS will cost $30 to $75 million more per year, between $50 to $120 per Surrey resident, thus rejecting all of Surrey's three arguments. On May 29th, according to Rob Shaw of Orca, the BC Premier David Eby reopened the door for negotiations 2 days before, where $150 million were still officially on the table. Also on May 29th, the Surrey Police Board held their scheduled meeting. On June 5th, Linda Annis of the Surrey First claimed that this year's tax hike is higher than 7%, much closer to 12%, according to Tom Zeterek of Surrey Now leader. On June 10th, in another Surrey City Council meeting, the Mayor Brenda Locke announced that she accepted the BC Supreme Court's decision, which ruled against Surrey's judicial reviews against the BC government, in directing the city to continue with the SPS, according to multiple media outlets. However, Locke still insists that the SPS isn't in the best interest for Surrey residents. We'll need to find out how much more the municipal police force will cost compared to the RCMP, including reviewing the Deloitte report, where the 734 SPS versus RCMP officers would be an annual difference of $30 million, with the SPS being higher. But Locke kept pointing out to the $75 million difference, which is between 734 RCMP and 900 SPS officers. However, the Deloitte report did not account for the RCMP's recent 8% pay bump, according to Gordon Hoekstra of the Vancouver Sun. Locke also said she would ask the Surrey City Manager Rob Costanzo to gather up experts who would work between the BC federal government's SPS Surrey Police Board and RCMP on planning requirements, on top of working with the council over the summer to expedite the process. Also, when the Mayor Locke calls meetings, she expects, quote, the province, the SPS, their executives, and Surrey Police Board to do likewise, end quote, according to Tom Zeterek of Surrey Now leader. On June 11th, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, welcomed Locke's acceptance of the SPS, according to Gordon Hoekstra of the Vancouver Sun, when the SPS provided another press release on their website, where nine additional experienced officers from municipal and RCMP forces were to be deployed that week, with 225 officers deployed onto Surrey streets in eight different units for a total of 367 sworn officers and 60 civilian employees, for a total of 427 employees, were its Twitter link on June 11th, said nine additional experienced officers were deployed that day. On June 13th, Rob Shaw explained a recent letter from Dominic LeBlanc, the federal public safety minister, to Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, on Northern Beat. In the letter, LeBlanc envisions, quote, the end state for federal policing that is separate from the RCMP's contract policing, end quote. The federal government as a whole also want to honor its contract policing obligations today and 2032. However, David Eby, the BC Premier, told Shaw the letter was confusing, as if the federal government wants to continue with the RCMP's contract policing, quote, we need to have certainty from them in how they are going to address the vacancies, end quote. On the other hand, Mike Farnworth, BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, told Gordon Hoekstra of the Vancouver Sun that while any decision in creating a provincial police force won't be for a while, he expects the RCMP to police the province for a long time and welcomed the RCMP in creating a federal police force. On June 19th, the SPS Twitter page updated its staffing numbers with a link on its official website, with 373 sworn officers and 60 civilian employees, with the SPS transition page providing a further breakdown, with 300 male and 73 female officers.
We had food growing up and we were used to being able to eat, but then all of a sudden we needed that help. That's why the food bank is here. They're here to help you and... They're here to help you.
The food bank is for anyone who needs one. Visit the food bank near you to help and be helped.
Thank you for listening to episode 23. Thank you for listening to episode 23 of the Steve Chong Show in 2024, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 4, it is Voice of the North.
The SFU Disability and Neurodiversity Alliance, referred to as DNA, is a student-led network of community members who identify as disabled, autistic, neurodivergent, deaf, MAD, and or as having a disability, a chronic illness, long-term condition, or a mental illness. At DNA, we work together to create campus change. We address ableism, and we promote disability justice while opposing oppression in all of its forms. We are the SFU Disability and Neurodiversity Alliance. We are DNA. We provide support for students who are having difficulty with their schooling or accessing the services they need. Email access@sfss.ca or drop by the DNA Resource Center, room 1300 in the sub-building. That was access@sfss.ca, room 1300 in the sub-building.